And so this morning, I want to define hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the acting, saying one thing and doing another. And the first point this morning that I want to look at, and I'm going to do an overview, is hypocrisy damages the perception of Christianity. And secondly, the positive impact of Christianity in the world. And thirdly, hypocrisy surfaces with all of humanity and not just the Christian. And number four, Jesus longs for us to stop hiding behind our masks. So that's where we're going. But I agree, there is too much play acting in Christians' lives. And we see examples of this surfacing in the media all over the place. This past year, a website called Ashley Madison got a lot of media attention. And this website is marketed to those who want to have an affair. The website slogan is this: life is short, have an affair. Well, someone hacked the website, and they got all the personal information. So they grabbed the emails, credit card information, personal addresses, and their sexual fantasies. And they threatened the site, if you do not shut this site down, we're going to post all this to the public. Well, of course, they're making millions and millions of dollars on this site, and so they refused. So the hackers posted the information, disclosing everybody who used the site. A well-known professing Christian named Josh Duggar was found on that site. And he is one of the 19 kids on a famous television show called 19 Kids and Counting on TLC. And this family is a Christian family. And on their website, their desire is to make Christ known and to, well, live out those values. Well, the headline reads this on Time Magazine: Josh Duggar, I have been the biggest hypocrite ever. And as a Christian, he tainted the perception for all Christians in his actions. He admitted to viewing pornography regularly. And out of those actions, started to have an affair and use the website as a platform to do that. So what are we to think? And so the fallout of all of this is, well, he wrecked not only his family's reputation, but also the reputation of many Christians. Kind of made Christianity to be a joke, especially when he stood for family values. He worked for a company that did exactly that, and now wears the brand of a hypocrite. What about Jim Baker in the 1980s? He had a very successful ministry and started an affair with his secretary. And he not only just started the affair, he tried to cover it up. He tried to pay her off to keep it quiet. And again, can we trust pastors like that? Can we trust Christians that act like that, causing the perception, well, I do not want to give to Christian organizations because, well, they're a bunch of fakers. What about Jimmy Swaggart? We have another story. He raked in $150 million a year through his televangelistic ministry. He had over 8 million viewers. What did Jimmy Swaggart do? Well, evidence surfaced that he was seeing and sleeping with prostitutes. Again, creating this perception that pastors are in it, well, for fame, for money, and they're no different than anyone else. Maybe your perception isn't because of the media, something that's been blown up. Maybe you've had an encounter with a Christian neighbor or a Christian coworker, and something happened in a conversation that really turned you off. They weren't friendly. They weren't loving. Maybe you needed help, and you went to the place in which you thought you would for sure get it, and you were turned down. I want to say that is really sad. A couple years ago, we dropped by our old house to collect a large amount of mail that accumulated over months. And so I had this big stack that I started to sort through. And the first one was an envelope from a cell phone company. So I cracked it open, and I'm kind of sorting it through, expecting it to be another offer for a new cell phone, possibly the newest and latest iPhone or Galaxy 6 or whatever. So I open it up, and I received a bill for over $600. And it wasn't even with a cell phone company that I signed up with. And so then I looked over at my wife going, "What is this?" She's like, "What? I have nothing to do with it." Okay, well, let's get to the bottom of this. So I made a phone call to the company, and it turned out somebody had taken out not one, but six cell phones in my name. Someone stole my identity. And so we continued to investigate what had happened, and it wasn't just six cell phones with one company, it was another company. It was credit cards. And there was all kinds of fraudulent activity that really affected my life. My identity was stolen, and somebody was misrepresenting me, Stephen Edelman. It compromised my ability to take out any credit cards after that, to renew my mortgage, because businesses could not trust me. But I had done nothing. Someone else had done this. How often have Christians done things in the name of Jesus that have misrepresented him, leaving a negative perception of Christianity and Jesus himself, making it more difficult to find the real Jesus? Now, what about the church? Now that we've acknowledged multiple individuals have damaged the perception of Christians, hypocrisy has damaged the corporate church. The Sunday after all the personal data was posted from the Ashley Madison website, there was a number of resignations in churches across North America. This was very sad for many. It left a gaping wound because of the actions of a few who damaged the reputation of what Jesus is trying to do through his church. We've seen scenarios like, for instance, with Mark Driscoll, a man who was leading a church of 14,000 people. And there was claims of bullying and plagiarism. And he had to step down as a result, and it left the church weakened, confused, and ultimately scattered. What about the pedophile priest scandals in the Catholic Church? That's completely damaged in the past the trust of the Catholic Church. And so all these scandals, sexual, financial, become the laughing stock of Christianity. Because therefore, if one is doing it, they all must be doing it. To quote the book Unchristian, young people are quick to point out that they believe that Christianity is no longer as Jesus intended. It is unchristian. But I want to tell you this morning, of course, the vast majority of Christian pastors and leaders aren't rich. They aren't famous. They're not guilty of sexual sin. But some, yes, are. Hypocrisy leaves an ugly impression wherever it walks. It leaves diversions. It leaves obstructions that get in the way of what Christianity is really supposed to be doing. And now that we've determined that hypocrisy harms both the perception of the Christian and the church, what does Jesus say about it? Jesus' response is clear. He does not tolerate it. And let's take a look at Matthew 23. Now, Jesus is speaking to the crowds, and the Pharisees are kind of on the outskirts of the crowds, and they're listening in. And he says this in verse 15. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across the sea and land to make a single proselyte who is a convert. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Now, those are some strong words. Twice the sons of hell as yourselves? Why is Jesus saying this? The reason is because he hates hypocrisy. He despises it. And the Pharisees are passing their hypocrisy on to those who are there training. And it's duplicating. And Jesus is like, "I've had enough of this. This is wrong and it must stop. You are making these individuals out to be twice the sons of hell as you are." Now, parents, have you passed some of your hypocrisy on to your kids? Can you see it trickling through your actions? Can you see it trickling through possibly the generations of your parents? What about within friendships? Do you see hypocrisy running through your friendships where you say one thing and do another? Jesus is so hard on the Pharisees because they've come up with this system where it's rules and regulations in which they are supposed to lead to God. But they've become the ends in themselves. It's about the appearance of godliness. It's about performance. It's about perfection. But their hearts were far from God. In verse 25, Jesus illustrates the problem perfectly. He says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, then the outside also may be clean." How many of you guys inspect the cup before you drink out of it? A few of you. I was taking Megan out on a date a couple years ago here in Victoria, and she wanted to go to a nice restaurant on the ocean side. And so we picked our place, we arrived, and the place looked spectacular. We sat down. Everything seemed perfect, in place, clean. And so it was a hot day, and I grabbed the glass, and I inspect. That looks good. And so I drink and put it down. Oh, that was great. And Megan, is a little different than myself, grabs the cup and just, and all of a sudden, spray everywhere. "Hun, what's wrong?" "Actually, there was vinegar in my water." "What?" And somehow, the server grabbed a cup of vinegar and in the busyness of what was happening, gave it to Megan in place of water. Well, of course, she was disgusted and upset, and they apologized profusely. But in the end, it seemed clean. It looked clean, but inside it was dirty vinegar water that could have been used for cleaning silverware. The Pharisees outwardly were impressive. They had it all together. They wore these beautiful robes. They flaunted their position of power. Everything was done to attract the approval and attention of others. But they abused their authority. Their judgment is summed up in the words, "They say and do not do." I'm going to show you a family picture as an illustration. And so in this picture, we appear to have it all together. We have our nice clothes on. We have our smiles pasted on. And the kids look happy. But in reality, 5 minutes before, our youngest Anna was crying and screaming. Our two other daughters were shivering cold, didn't want to be there. Mom and Dad were frazzled as we're trying to get them together to look happy. And for one moment, we faked it. Well, all the Christians in the room can now take a breath. Now that I've thrown you under the bus, I want to take you out and, well, make you look a little better. Because not all Christians are faking it. Dr. Ravi Zacharias challenges his listeners with these words. Why is it that a community that talks so much about supernatural transformation shows so little of this transformation? We will have to be men and women who embody the message that we are preaching, whose lives are faithful to the claims that we are making. Does your actions line up with what you're saying? But I want to say it's important not to confuse hypocrisy with sin. Because I want to say all Christians are sinners. And to be a Christian, you have to admit that you have sin in your life. But just because a person is not perfect doesn't mean they are a phony. The distinction between the two is important. The failures of believers do not invalidate the truth. But what is the difference? I think the difference is in our motives, in our intentions, and our heart. We may not know that we're sinning all the time. But when it's brought to our attention, we deal with it. We ask God to help us change. We make efforts with God to be obedient and realign our lives. But when we say we're following Christ and our actions don't line up, you're a hypocrite. When you say that God is your all, your king, but really it's you, you are a hypocrite. And Jesus does not excuse our hypocrisy. In fact, he despises it. He calls us out. He raises the standard and says, look, you don't match up. Stop. Deal with your sin. Realign your life with me. In the book, The Reason for God, I quote, "I have to doubt any religion that has so many fanatics and hypocrites," insisted Helen, a law student. "There are so many people who are not religious at all who are more kind and even more moral than many of the Christians I know." I want to say, if you've been affected by the hypocrisy of the church, I want to say I'm sorry. I want to say that is not the way Jesus intended for Christians to live. And on behalf of the church, I am so sorry. But history also tells a really encouraging story. Which brings me to the second point. I want to look at the positive impacts of Christianity in the world. Historically, Christians have made affirming advancements. Did you know that it was Christians who stood against slavery? The social historian Rodney Stark writes, "Although it has been fashionable to deny it, anti-slavery doctrines began to appear in Christian theology soon after the decline of Rome and were accompanied by the eventual disappearance of slavery in all but the fringes of Christian Europe. Finally, the abolition of New World slavery was initiated and achieved by Christian activists." There was a number of Christian activists, such as William Wilberforce in Great Britain and John Woolman in America, who gave their lives in the name of Jesus to end slavery. What about when the Nazis were taking over in World War II? Was there Christians that, again, stood against what Hitler was doing? Well, a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood and said, "No more." And his life was eventually taken by the Nazis because he was standing up for what is right. Over the centuries, there's been orphanages sponsored by Christians. And I love this story of a person named A.H. Frank, a Lutheran pastor and professor at Halle University in Germany. He had over 8,000 orphans in his care. Wow. Christians have played a part in starting hospitals and healthcare. Science has Christian beginnings. Labor and economic freedoms had Christian ties. Now, when Christians really live out their faith the way Jesus intended, there is an impact, and they stand up for injustice, and they right the wrongs of this world. They don't say one thing and not act. What about currently? What are Christians doing in the world? As you see these boxes piling up right here, we're supporting children who don't have much through an operation called Samaritan's Purse. Many of us support kids through World Vision and Compassion who have nothing, who need monthly payments to survive. This church is also looking at doing a refugee sponsorship, and we're prayerfully considering helping a family who needs to get out of a dangerous situation so they have a chance. What about civic responsibilities? There's a book called Christians in a Secular World that is full of statistics. And this was really fascinating, is that charitable giving and volunteering is double in religious groups than those who don't have any religious backgrounds or practice. Double. What about divorce rates? This book also states that 55% of those who are seeking, meaning they're interested in religion but really haven't committed, 55% have gone through a divorce. And 32% of those who don't want to have anything to do with religion also have a fairly high divorce rate. But what about those who are committed? The stat goes down to 18%. Not 50%, 18%. But again, I don't think Christians have it all together. But there continues to be a positive impact when we really follow Jesus. The third point is hypocrisy surfaces with all of humanity, not just the Christian. We can find hypocrisy in all religions, cultures, governments, occupations, and homes. So why are there so many hypocrites in the church? Maybe a better question would be, why are there so many hypocrites in the world? Because hypocrisy reveals the condition of mankind. And this condition marks us all and shows up in every area of society, in every community, culture, government, and belief system. We can find it wherever we find people, across the globe. And we can see it in everyday examples like, well, I believe in democracy, but I will not vote. I hate corruption, but I'm willing to bribe the officer to get off the ticket. Most of us outcry against anti-labor practices, yet we buy products where labor abuse is rampant. We expect everyone else to change, but we're not willing to change. You know, in my home, it's like, I don't want my kid to talk like that. But wait, where did they learn that? From me. So the examples are endless. No one completely lives up to their own standards and values. But let's take it further. Let's take it where, what about secularism, where we take God right out of the picture. Secularism is also full of hypocrisy. Secularism asserts the right to be free from religious rule and teachings. But secularism is quick to point its finger at everyone else, but has difficulty pointing its finger at itself. Why? Because the standards and values are constantly changing and moving. There's no foundation for it. And you know what? Hypocrisy can be found in the selfish advancements of modern society, where we're claiming to help humanity. However, it's not always the case. In the name of progress and freedoms, we see our countries, well, killing at a more efficient rate, destroying the planet more than ever before, consuming more and more. And a couple years ago, I read that obesity is at its highest rate in North America. The theatrics of politics has caused a new level of embarrassment. These ideologies produce leaders like Rob Ford, who is the mayor of Toronto. His political scandals included public drunkenness, cocaine usage, and sleeping with prostitutes, to name a few. I think this is a new leadership low for public office. The conclusion of the matter is this: hypocrisy reveals the condition of all mankind. And that's what Jesus is saying, is we're all sinners. Now here's a question for you. Does hypocrisy consistently determine our affiliation and involvement with all organizations? Let me read it again. Does hypocrisy consistently determine your affiliation and involvement with all organizations? So you may have heard of some medical quacks, but do you still go to the doctor? I remember in the news last year in Vancouver, a dentist was discovered to have practiced dentistry without proper licensing and ruined all kinds of people's lives. But do you still go to the dentist? What about the lifestyle of movie stars? Do you support that? But yet we still go to the movies. When we've seen E. coli break out in many of the meat industries, do you still eat meat? Are you going to leave the country after every political scandal? No. Hypocrisy reveals our human condition and our need for Jesus. And my point four is Jesus longs for us to stop hiding behind our masks. You're right. The church is not perfect, but Jesus is. And Time magazine goes as far as to say the single most powerful figure, not merely in the two millenniums, but in all human history, has been Jesus of Nazareth. He is the most powerful figure because he was perfect. He was without hypocrisy. 1 Peter 2:22 says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. What Jesus said he was going to do, he always did it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. All of us, Christian or not, try to hide our bad side. The imperfections, the addictions, the pride, the shame, that person that we really are, rather than exposing the real us. You know, we try to make ourselves look better than we really are. Nobody wants to reveal their weakness. And so we start to hide behind a mask. But the question is, what is the mask that you hide behind? Is it that I got it all together mask? Is it that I'm better than everyone else mask? Is it that I'm happy mask? But really, you're not. And Jesus says to us, take the mask off. Let me see your weakness. Expose it. Trust me with it. Give it over. And he asks us to stop hiding behind these masks and be honest. Be honest about our brokenness. Be honest about our weakness. And when we do that, we're on the path to transformation where we let him do what only he can do. He says, let me give you my grace. I know you don't have it all together. But let me pour my grace over you. Let me change the things in your life that are a mess. Give them to me. I have the standard. You can't meet it, but through me, I can love you and hold you and bring you to that standard, but you can't do it on your own. That is the message that Jesus has for us. Is that you're not perfect. Take off the mask. Will you give up your hypocrisy? Will you let go of your pride? Can you be honest this morning? What are the things in your life that you're holding on to so dearly? That you know you have to let go. The question is, will you take off your mask? Let's stand together.